Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us another day in which to live, to love, to show forth your forgiveness. We ask you, Lord, to walk with us each and every moment of our life until that day you call us heavenward. Bless the preaching and bless the hearing this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've decided to tell you how all they connect in the sermon. And this sermon is kind of different. It's kind of a backward sermon. I need to tell you the ending, and then I'll start at the beginning. Okay? So the ending goes something like this. And all of this, as the ending of verse 3 says, happens in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Did you catch that? It all happens in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning to the holy ones called to be members of Mount Calvary Church in Fort Lupton, Weld County, Colorado, United States of America, on the planet Earth. In the solar system we haven't yet named. Can you believe that? We don't know what solar system we're in. Did you know that? We know what galaxy we're in. We're in the Milky Way, but we've not named our solar system. So how is anyone going to find us? You know? What if when we leave here, we're in that solar system. You see that spot on the left there? You know, see those three bright ones there? We're like right below that. No. Got to have an address. Oh, well. Does that seem a little overboard in the greeting of the congregation? Did I go a little overboard there? A little, maybe. Okay. We go about living life and rarely think about how God in Christ has called us to this specific spot, this specific time, this specific location. God called you here this morning. God called you into the family, into the work, into the neighborhood that you currently live. We like to think that it's, no, I made the choice. I made the decision. God is directing your life, each and every moment of your life. The fact that we kind of goof it up sometimes, almost used a bad word there, you know, that we kind of get off track and do things our way is not his fault. In the first verse of one of the first books that Paul is to write, we think this is like maybe the second letter that he writes. It's very early in his ministry. He refers to the church of the Thessalonians. Church. Okay. How does that ring in your ear? It's not to some generic place or time. It's not to all Christians or not to those people in Macedonia or Acacia or Israel or Jerusalem. He says to the church in Thessalonica. Now, church, have you had church explained to you? No, okay. Here's church. How would those people have heard it back then? They would have heard the word ecclesia. Paul used the word to the ecclesia in Thessalonica. And what would they have heard when they heard ecclesia? Would they have heard church? No, they would not have heard church. They would have heard that you are a called group of people gathered together for a specific reason. So they had ecclesias all the time. The mayor or the governor of a particular area would call the people to come out and to gather to hear him say something, or call him out to do some public work. That was always called an ecclesia, a group of people called to do something. So we are called by God to do something. You might think that, well, I decided to join here. I didn't hear any call, Pastor. Yeah, that's the way God operates. God doesn't appear at the base of your bed you know, in a vision of some time. But some of you might have had that and said, join Mount Calvary in Fort Lupton. Well, now don't laugh. Some, you know, I, as a pastor, I've had some people tell me, Sean at our church had someone of peace. He is a runner, and apparently 20, 25 years ago, he was running past someone of peace on 136th, and he heard God tell him that he needed to join this church and hear about Jesus. And he's willing to tell you that. I think he's probably the only person I've met who God has talked to and told to join a church. But it could happen. But God called you in some spiritual, unknown way to come here and join this church and to be a part of it. So the question is, what were you called here to do? What were you called here to do? You're the church. You're the called ones. You were called out. Well, let's look at Thessalonians and see what it says. First point, verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, we always thank God for all of you. Not some, not for the Christians necessarily, but for all of you gathered as the church. Young, old, and everybody in between. We thank God for all of you, continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Your work produced by faith. How else can work be produced? Why do you go to work? I bet most of you go to work so you can put food on the table and pay the mortgage or the rent. Yep. Most of you probably go to work so you can pay the bills and have a comfortable life, a less stressful life than the people that we minister to at the homeless shelter here in town, whose life is in absolute turmoil. Maybe you go to work, maybe you go to school to get into a good college so you can get a good job. Maybe you work so that your spouse won't abuse you. Maybe you work to stay out of jail. I don't know why you work, but I hope as a Christian that you work for Jesus, from faith in him. Your work produced by faith. Working for Jesus is kind of the opposite, and this is where I thought that I needed to start at the end of the sermon and put it at the beginning, because working for Jesus is different than all the other work that you do. How you do the work here in the world, you work, and then get paid, right? Has anybody ever been hired and you get your paycheck on the first day of work? Yeah, you laugh and chuckle. That's not how the world works. You work and then you get paid, right? And then you come to the ecclesia, and a pastor tells you, here it's just the opposite. You get grace, and then now I'd like you to go to work. You get love, you get forgiveness, and now I'd like you to go to work. So what are you going to do? Going to work by faith or work for something else? Here's a really tricky question. What's worth more, the salary, the money you get, or God's grace? Oh, God's grace, you're right. What's more valuable, God's forgiveness or your Social Security check? For those of us who are retired. And you heard the big chuckle from those of us who are retired because, yeah, God's grace is way better than the Social Security check. God and Jesus has called us to be his workers in this world in whatever way you're working. God has called you to that spot. Now, do you get the connection between all three readings and the collect for today? Cyrus thought he was the ruler of Babylon. No. Well, he was, but God called him there. Did you catch that? And to the Pharisees, Sadducees that wanted, the rulers that wanted to capture Jesus, about, is it Caesar or is it God? Is it Caesar or God? And Jesus says, yes. That whatever belongs to Caesar, give it to him. And give to God. What's God's? What's God's here? We are God's. This is the body and the person and the soul and the heart that has been called to work for Him. Because Jesus is the ultimate boss, as my mother way too often said, which she still says at 96 years of age, you can always do the right thing. She would say, you're not reporting to me, Mark, you're reporting to Jesus. Now do what's right. In her understanding and in her language, as untheological as it was, I went to seminary. None of my professors ever referred to God as boss, but to me, I understand as God as boss. Okay, because my mother taught that to me early on. Now, when I'm at work and the boss asks me to do this, which is immoral, unethical, and possibly illegal, am I going to do it or am I going to follow my boss? Oh, but I'm going to get fired. Yeah, do you think the boss can cover that? I think so. Don't sweat the earthly stuff when the heavenly stuff may be in jeopardy. Second point. We give thanks to God, and I'm kind of repeating this because Paul often in his writings will like, here's three things, but they all relate to the first part of the verse. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering your labor of love. Labor of love. Man, we had work in faith, now we have labor of love. Isn't the one and the same thing? Labor, work? Yeah, that's where our 21st century American minds go to. Labor, work. We're always working, we're always laboring. I mean, this morning, I won't mention any names here, but it was obvious that somebody had a hard week at work. You know, that their labor was difficult. Well, there is a distinction because we didn't hear the other word. Love. Laboring in love. We did it by faith, hope, and trust in the ultimate boss. Now we're asked to do it by love because what's the primary, what's the base emotion, what is the basic motivation for what God does to us? Is it because He likes us? Does He think we're worthy of it? He does it because He loves us, not because we loved Him first. Laboring in love is the base emotion from which we work for Jesus, since it was His base emotion for His relationship with us. Paul's letter to the Colossians will say it this way: since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Love for all the saints. Not like, not tolerant, not put up with, but love for all the saints. The love us Christians labor with is different from the world's. And I'd like to suggest it's become more different as more people don't go and hear about Jesus. When they don't gather, when they don't ecclesia, when they don't go to church and hear that God first loved us. That when they labor, when they work for a living, their motivation simply is the bottom line, not love for others. We all hear about customer service. Who was the ultimate customer service? Jesus. And the customer didn't even know that we needed them. The world's love, while it strives to be like Christian love, fails often and frequently. The world's love is often conditional. Conditional, like, I will love you if dot, dot, dot. Earthly love is often self-serving. Right? I mean, that's the basis for our whole capitalistic economy, is that I do this, I get paid. I mean, we have a whole thing called, what is that called? Lawyers that determine that you got paid fairly, that everything is just. But when you come here, the scales are whoop on us, and Jesus covers it. God's love is all-inclusive. Everybody is gathered. Everybody is gathered. Who gathered at Jesus' tables? The tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, the bleeding lady for 14 years. Wow. All the people who should not have been at the rabbi's table were. Christian love is all-inclusive. It is absolute. I will love you absolutely, regardless of what you have done. And it is, ultimately, look up at the middle of the church. Ultimately, God's love, Christian love, is sacrificial. I will do it to save you. But not to be repetitive here, let's see if we know this one. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him have eternal life. Yeah. That's sacrificial love. Third and final point. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering your steadfastness of hope. Steadfast, that's what the English Standard Version, that's what the Bibles currently say. other translations use the word instead of steadfastness. But when was the last time you used the word steadfastness?
In church.
Yeah, that'll help you when you go leave out those doors and go into the world. And yeah, oh, I found out about steadfastness today. Okay. I like other translations better. Other translations use the patience. Your patience of hope. Patience of hope. That's interesting. Your endurance of hope. I like that better. Your confidence of hope. Yeah, that's good too. But I like endurance. All those words try to grasp the ability we have been given to cling to Jesus and the hope of the resurrection. Because that's the final day of work. That's when the labor is done. That is when our endurance ends. How do you endure? How do you develop your endurance? Oh, don't go there, preacher. We know where that ends up. Endurance is only made better by doing it over and over and over and over again. Hey, I'd like to run a marathon next weekend. Anybody like to come with me? Oh, come on. Next Saturday, it'll be thousands of people. It'll be lots of fun. Yeah. Now, if I said, how about if we run a marathon in 3 years? Yeah, we might be able to do that if we practice and we practice and we practice. I know some marathoners. I know people who have climbed very, very tall mountains. And they have taken years of practice to get there. So when we endureness of hope, when Paul sees our endurance, it is love constantly. It is love the unlovable. It's loving those who just like, I can't stand them anymore. Start loving them more. What hope did the Thessalonians have? It is the same hope you and I have. The hope in the resurrection and the coming eternal life. We are going to heaven, and I shall endure every day until that day comes. Now to wrap it up. There's the baptismal font, right over there. What did you get in the baptismal font? What's the standard Lutheran response? In baptism I received life, forgiveness, salvation, right? And some of you might say, well, we got faith there too. We got the Holy Spirit there. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to add three more things to what you got there. Right? Let's see. Work of faith. Oh, you got faith there. Labor of love. You got love there. God poured faith. God poured love into your heart. And finally, He poured into your heart what? Endurance of hope. Before this sermon, before this preparation, I had never thought that in baptism we received hope. But that's what God gave us, hope. It's not something we self-generate. It's something God has placed in our hearts. In a little while, we'll come forward to again receive, you know, we all know this, forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's what we teach the confirmands. But again, I would like to think that as you come forward this week, you think that I also receive, I receive more faith. I receive faith strengthening here. I receive more love here. If I'm in doubt whether God loves me, He gave His Son for me and His body and blood for me. Yeah, He loves me. And finally, yeah. What did He tell the disciples? When do we do this again with Jesus? We do this again in the resurrection in heaven. As the ending of verse 3 says, remember that? Yeah. Happens all in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Son, for giving us faith, for giving us hope, for giving us endurance. Lord, we ask You that each and every moment of our life, that we may exhibit faith in You, love for You and others, and the hope of the resurrection to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.